Too many hitting, too many notes to hit in too short a time. Amen. One day we're going to a place so there won't be no clouds, really. But I was thinking about it was raining a while ago. I was thinking about that verse that it's time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains what? Righteousness upon us. Thank God for the rain, physically speaking. Thank God for water, physically speaking. We need that water from heaven, that rain, righteousness, and need to be drinking from that fountain. Jesus told that woman at the well, if you drink of this fountain, you won't thirst no more. Well, I'll tell you what, physically, you can get all the water you want, and you ain't thirsty, but you just do that long enough, you'll get thirsty again. Well, thank God when we get a drink of that living water. Still lasting, still going on. Hallelujah. Well, we got with us this morning another missionary. He's actually from Florida. He's down Stark and Lauderdale, Florida. Down where the brother Billy Austin and them from, and also Brother Crawford and them. But he's up in the Northeast, I call it, the England States. And he's in the prison ministry. And I hope he's going to come, sure, with us a little bit what's going on up here. I couldn't believe how many prisons are even up in them small states, how full they are. Folks, we live in some perilous times. And to get the gospel to them, we get the gospel to them, hey, and to get it in their hearts, when they get out, they won't have to go back. And we get the gospel to them before they get there, before they ever go there, very possibility, good possibility, they wouldn't have to go there. I'm thankful for those that'll go and care of the gospel. When we was talking this morning, I realized, you probably don't realize how many is in prison, not counting the jail. He said the estimation of about 1.5 million in the United States of America. You think about that, just in prisons. I think he was telling me, I hope you'll share some of this. 70 something right there in him area that he's working in the New England States. Prisons. Full. Almost, if you go to the county jails, about everywhere you go, you're going to see what they are. Full. I'll never forget what judge had just left office, was graduated with in school years ago. He told me how many more cases they were having now a year than what my father-in-law did when he was in office. When he passed away, he was in there until he passed away in 81. They have more now in a month than they had in a year or 2 years. You don't think this thing speeded up? It has. The only answer to it is the Lord. That's all. That's the only hope. You cannot reform. Reform don't work. You may try to help them if they don't get something in their heart. It takes a heart. New, behold, I make all things new. Any man be in Christ, Corinthians says, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm going to ask brother, this is Brother Wilson, Brother John Wilson. I'm going to ask him to come, share with us about his work and whatever else he's got on his heart this morning.
Good morning, folks. My name is John Wilson. We were here a couple years ago. You were contemplating this building back then. I'm glad to see you getting everything finished. It is nice. It's a nice building. We were over at Brother Torrey's church in McClenny, and the Lord said, I'd like you to be a missionary. And so we had a couple of years we've been with Reformers Unanimous and Addictions Ministry, and it's just Bible. That's the only thing that makes a difference. It's just Bible. And the Lord was pushing us to go further, take it to more, and so we went over to the prisons and started taking over there, and the district chaplain says, well, love for you to come and do this full time. He said, I've got 11 prisons here. I'd love for you to come do this full time. I was like, hey, I'd love to do that too. And he encouraged me to go see Rock of Ages and Rock of Ages Ministries. If it has anything to do with keeping somebody out of prison or reaching somebody in prison, or then Rock of Ages is about it. And so the Lord put us together, and Brother Torrey told me at the time, he said, it's been nice. You've been here with us 7 years. It's been nice having you in our church. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm not looking to go anywhere. The Lord hadn't said anything about going anywhere. He said, keep that in mind. Hold on to that thought. And sure enough, we got up to went up to a prison revival in Rhode Island, and the Lord said, "This is where I want you, up here." And so I've had to learn how to talk a lot faster up there because they won't sit still long enough for you to just go ahead and get it out. They just won't sit still. And you got 12 minutes. Go ahead and pray. I can't hardly say my name in 12 minutes. And you want me? So anyway, we are enjoying what the Lord is doing up there. The Lord gave me a verse recently in Psalm 66:16. And he says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Declare. That's a little bit more than just sharing. Declare means I'm not undecided. I am convinced. Declare means I am. This is what he's done, and I'm not ashamed of it. There's a phrase there that says, all ye that fear God. I wonder why he put that in there. And then it dawned on me. You folks that don't fear God, what he's done in your soul doesn't matter a whit to them. But folks that fear God, they understand when you say, God is good. They understand what that means. You see, God is good just rolls right off your tongue, doesn't it? It's real easy to say, God's good. Yeah, God's good. But when things aren't good, can you still say it then? You see, what he's done in my soul, what he's done for my soul, is he's changed me. He's made me. He's called me. What he's done in my soul is important to declare because it encourages other folks, especially folks that fear God. You see, when I declare what he's done for my soul, folks get saved. Because I tell them what he's done for me, folks get saved. And it doesn't matter where I am, in prison, school, in a nursing home. I had a guy the other night in a nursing home, and after I finished preaching, then he came over and started shaking. And one minute he was lost as he could be. The next minute, what are you talking about? He wasn't all there. But there was something that was concerning him. So I prayed with him. I showed him the gospel. And maybe he got saved, but there was something there. But it doesn't matter whether I understand he got saved or not. It's between him and God anyway. So when I share with somebody what he's done for my soul, the Lord is good. He shows up. I stopped in Rhode Island on the way down. I left Fryeburg, Maine on Sunday morning, went to preach in Concord. And when I left Fryeburg, Maine, my truck was covered in ice. I haven't seen ice since. I could use a glass of ice. It's warm down here. I forgot how warm it was. But I stopped in Rhode Island for a one-day revival there. And supposed to be just discipleship, because after folks get saved, we want to go back and disciple. We want to go back and teach them. Go back and help them get grounded and make sure they know what the Bible says about what they, you know, why they got in there and what their problem is. And so we were supposed to be a discipleship meeting, and it turned out the prison got confused and they did an open call. And so we had a bunch of guys. And anyway, we saw 19 get saved in the service. And then we went upstairs to segregation and visited for a little while, and another guy got saved up there. And then we left prison and went down to get something to eat, and the guy sitting down there just out, and it was obvious something was wrong with him. I sat down beside him, and he asked the Lord to save him after a little while. So we saw 21 get saved last Monday, or Monday before last. And the Lord's good when you declare what he's done for your soul. Are you ashamed of what he's done for your soul? Has he done anything for you? Well, let's start there. Has he done anything for you in your soul? Has he changed you? Then don't be shy about telling folks. The Bible says, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul. If he hadn't done anything for your soul, then you don't have much to tell, do you? Gets awful quiet, doesn't it? Gets awful quiet. What's God done for you lately? Nice weather we're having. How about them Red Sox? Declare what he's done for you. Don't be bashful about it. Understand when you get in your Bible in the morning, find out what he's done for your soul and thank him for it. You see, when you're thankful, the rest of the day goes better. When you start out your day thankful, the rest of the day goes better. Doesn't it, though? Doesn't it? Yeah, everybody's got something to be thankful for. I was sorry I had no shoes until I met a man that had no feet. Oh man, I got feet. So what's the Lord done for your soul? Well, he called us and Faith Baptist Church in McClenny sent us, and so we went to serve with the Rock of Ages Ministries. And in New England, I didn't realize, because there's so few churches there, but I didn't realize how many people are in those six New England states. The Boston corridor there, 20% of the nation's population lives right there, and they're packed in there. 20%. That's 1/5 of the population of the United States lives right there in those six states. The prison, there are 73 state and federal facilities. That's just prisons. That's not counting county jails. And we go to those too. But 73 state and federal. When I got to Rhode Island, that's really where the Lord bit me right there. When I got to Rhode Island, there are 13 prisons right there, and they're closer than the ones that are over here, Rayford and Lawdy and Union. They're closer together. They're like 15 city blocks all together right there in Cranston, Rhode Island. And I've asked the Lord more than once, can I just stay here and minister to these prisons? There's three youth prisons. There's the intake center. The intake center, when everybody gets arrested in Rhode Island, they go through the intake center. They don't have any county jails. And so any city jails. More than 20,000 a year go through that little intake center. And so we go there every month, and every other month we do a revival there, and a three-day revival. And we see... Let's see, last time we did a three-day revival, 78 men asked the Lord to save them. And so we see a lot of then there's the two ladies' prisons, the maximum, the minimum, and so all right there together. And the Lord just, no, you got something bigger than that to do. There's a lot of prisons up there that have no witness whatsoever. Guy wears his collar backwards, wears a dress, all kind of stuff, and they don't have any clue what it takes to change a life. And so, what the Lord is doing the last couple of years is the churches that are close to the prison, like you are to the. They go and do the discipleship each month. Pastor, assistant pastor, some faithful men in the church will go and do the discipleship every month. And then we come in and do 3 and 5 day revivals in those prisons. And the Lord has been opening doors. I was telling brother, when we go and visit a chaplain, and the chaplain says, chaplain in Concord, I got 1,846 men behind these walls, and I don't need you. Wears his collar backwards. He cusses the same way the men do. He talks just like the men do. And I said, really? And he says, yep, don't need you. I said, okay. So we started praying for him. You never know what the Lord will do until you ask him. So we started praying for him. Next thing you know, that chaplain is gone. The Lord has set him aside, and somebody made a phone call. Hey, Would you guys like to come over and start ministering to the men here in Concord in the prison? He said, we got 1,846 men behind these walls, and we need you here. And we got all kind. We got the Indians that are doing their sweat lodge and doing all their Wicca and stuff. And we got the Norse god. I never knew anybody worshipped Odin, but they do. It's a white supremacist thing, and but they do. That's a bigger thing up there than Islam in the North Country up there. You get further south down into Connecticut and Massachusetts, and you get Islam again, but. But not up north. In the up, that's Odin worship, Norse gods. And I thought everybody just knew that was you know, just stories. But it's amazing what people will worship instead of worshiping God. But Anglican priest was a chaplain, or is a chaplain at the new federal facility in Berlin, New Hampshire. And the state facility is at the bottom of the mountain, and the federal facility is up the mountain. And from their parking lot, the view is like you would not believe. You can see the mountains all the way. Gorgeous. It was supposed to be the best moose hunting place in all of New England, right there where they built the prison. But we got there, and the chaplain there would not let us in, would not let Baptist preachers in. And so we called his boss, and we started praying for him. And his boss goes, yeah, just one time, get them off my back. Yeah, they can come one night. So we did. And we walked in, and one guy in particular, he's just grinning the whole time we're there. And finally I said, David, I said, what is your problem? He said, what do you mean? I said, I haven't seen you not grin one second since we've been here. He said, I got saved last week. That's why. I got saved. And so he said, you guys are an answer to prayer. He said, we got guys in here tell us that we can't be saved. We're not one of those guys that can be saved. We got guys that say, well, if we got saved, we can't stay saved. And he said, we got guys coming here and saying, God's dead, and you guys need to get a clue. And he said, we get everything in here except preachers that'll preach the word of God. He said, you guys are answered to prayer. So when we went to leave, the chaplain, the Anglican priest, he got me aside, and he said, look, he said, what you guys got is real. He said, we don't have a reentry facility here. We have to ship our guys down to D.C. to do reentry. He said, what would you think about? He said, I'd love to do your security background check. He said, what would you think about being here every day? They got three wings. One wing is partially full. They got 1,100 prisoners. He said, what would you think about being here every day and preaching to these guys and doing our reentry? I said, oh, man. I said, I'd love to do that. I said, but the Lord won't let me do that. But I'll see if I can find somebody to do it. And he said, there's 90 guys up at the work camp just up farther up the mountain. He said, I know you guys aren't scheduled to stay. He said, but would you come back tomorrow? I said, sure, you know. He said, well, yeah. He said, well, there's 90 guys up there. He said, well, why don't you just come back? So then next morning he calls you and says, you don't have a time slot. We don't have anywhere to put you. He said, why don't you guys just come at lunch? He said, we'll feed you. But he said, we'll lock the doors and you can just stay in and preach. So we did, and we had six guys saved up there. But the Lord does what he wants to do. He does. He changes hearts. He moves people out of the way. He makes a way. And so what it looks like the Lord would like me to do up there, and what we've been doing is training churches that are close to the prisons to go in and do the discipleship, and training folks to go into the schools, because they would love to get into their schools. And a lot of we can't get into the schools. We've been in, and they kick us right out. We don't get to do anything. And you can't take Bibles in. How can you have a Bible club without Bibles? And we take a Bible in. No, you can't do that in school. And actually, yes, you can. You can. You just have to know how to do it. You can't put Bible on the front. You put Yes Club on the front, but it's still a King James Bible, right? But you can. You can. And so in October, we're going to do another about 200 pastors together, three pastors fellowships come together in October, and present again to them the school programs that we have with Rock of Ages, the things that we've already developed that work in all over the United States, and present to so and get them to help us go into the schools. And the Lord is, there's so much to do up there. There's so many. And I just found out that in March at the Rock of Ages class, there was a guy that had surrendered to come to New England and help me. And I don't know his name. I haven't met him yet, but he's raising his support, and he's on his way to New England to help me. It's so good to have some help up there. In January, my family's not here. In January, Marty, we were driving down to Boston. I was going to preach Sunday morning. So it was like 7:30 in the morning. We were coming, and we crossed the Hiram Bridge. It's a real sharp left on turn across the river, the Saco River. I made it with the truck, and she didn't. She missed it, and she went over the snowplow and left snow higher than the guardrail, and she just made a ramp, and she went over and onto the river upside down, 50 feet, the guy said, and they're recovering. Marty said that they just went to a specialist Wednesday afternoon, an optometrist. He did some tests, and he said Jed's about 7 months from getting better. Concussion. He took the post between the front on the back of his head, and so concussion. And gave him some blue glasses, and told him to use these essential oils to reduce the inflammation in his brain and to raise the oxygen level, stuff like that. Anyway, he said Jed's doing good. He's about 7 months from recovery. Marty has a knot about that big on her thigh where the steering wheel caught her. And the doctor, in an effort to get Jed to rest, because, you know, teenagers, they think they're bulletproof. And so in an effort to get Jed to rest, he says, "You see this knot on her thigh?" He said, "That's what's inside your head." He said, "You've got to rest or it's going to be permanent." And so he didn't graduate this year. He was supposed to graduate last month, and he didn't. We're trying to get him to graduate next year. The Lord is... There's a lot of things that happen. It's just life. It's just life. But the Lord is good. He's good. On Monday morning, after the accident, on Monday morning, I was glad to not be like Job and say, "Everything that I have, you've taken away." I was glad to still have. I was very aware that he was right there and had his hand around them. And they went off there for his purposes, whatever it is. And the two of the EMTs that worked the accident, we have been able to visit with. They've come by for supper. I've given them a direct presentation of the gospel. And I asked them straight out, I said, "Well, if you die, would you? Well, one of the ladies said, "Well, when I do work an accident and I lay my hands and I touch these people, I get a hold of them to help them, they get better and I get hurt. And folks, and I know I'm going to heaven." I haven't heard that one before, but okay. You know you must be born again, right? And I gave her a track, and she's okay. Well, anyways, they took the witness, and it's amazing what people believe. Anything to keep from. Oh, I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. It's amazing what people will do to avoid the gospel. But if one person got saved from the accident, it was worth it. So this is what the Lord's done in my soul. He's given us a place. Thinking that we were going to be here with these 11 prisons, I could get my mind around that. I could figure out a schedule, and I'm work these 11 prisons every month, and I could figure that out. But the Lord's put us in a place where if he doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. If he don't do it, it's not going to get done. The 73 state and federal. Now, my wife has been working with the lady. She went and got certified to go into the Merrimack County Prison. And she on Tuesday night, she's there with the ladies. On Thursday night, Goffstown, it was a ladies' prison. And they sued the state and won. The prisoners sued the state because the judge made the state build a new prison for the ladies. And so they moved it up behind the men's prison in Concord, and they doubled the size of it. Well, they were having a tough time staffing it in down in Goffstown. Now it's twice as big, and a lot of the volunteers are not moving with the prison, and so they called us. Would you take every Saturday night? You've got every other. Would you take every Saturday night? Well, sure. Yeah. So we started doing that, and we go in and preach, and the ladies come with us, and they deal with the ladies. Every Saturday night. That's where. So then they. We just found out that a bunch of our volunteers, or would you take another night of the week? Well, sure, yeah. How many would you like us to take? Well, you could only have one more, but would you do Tuesday night? Okay. So now we have every Tuesday night and every Saturday night at the ladies' prison. And so the Lord just opens doors where he wants to do something. Yeah. So we're very 3 years ago, Brother Peter Chamberlain started a church in he and his wife started a church there in Concord, the first church of any denomination been started in Concord, which is the capital of New Hampshire, in the last 16 years. They make it very difficult to put a church together. And so the Lord was in it, and the Lord, and in fact, Peter called me Thursday night. He said, Thursday night, that's their midweek service. They don't do Wednesday night. And he says, Thursday night, he said, every parking space in the parking lot was taken. He said, by the time you get back, brother, he said, we will be well started on the second story of our building, and it seats 300. And so we got to get that done because we're full. And the Lord's just bringing folks in. The teens are going out. They go down to the park and they play soccer on Thursday afternoon. And they after they play for a little while, all the kids come out and start playing with them. And then they stop playing soccer and they sit down and have a and the teens lead. It's not an adult. There's a teen that does the group. And so we're seeing teenagers in the area get saved. And of course, those are the future of our churches anyway, right? Right. So when we see teenagers, but what we see up there, a lot of old churches, 1600s and 1700s, those churches were started, but not generations old Christians, first generation Christians. We have not one man, we're about 120, 125 in Sunday school, and not one man in our church qualifies to be a deacon. Because they're just that new Christian, and most of the churches up there that are straight between 10 and 20 folks attend. They're small, they're scattered far apart. We have several people in our church that drive 2 hours to be in church because it's the only one. It's lots of churches, Congregationalists, Catholics, lots of them, even Southern Baptist, but not churches that will just preach from the Bible. So when they find a church, they may get their feelings hurt, but they don't. They go to church on purpose. There's not another church to go down the street to. And, well, I got my feelings hurt there. I'll just go down. There isn't one. You can drive 3-4 hours and not find a church, depending on where you are. Vermont is worse than New Hampshire. Vermont is they actively persecute churches that use the Bible. They actively, the state, the employee, the different regulator offices, they actively, the church that was in Vermont moved just over the border into New Hampshire so they could get away from that. And so they have Vermont church members that drive across the border to be in New Hampshire to get away from that kind of stuff. They had a well. The well went dry, so the city found out about it and come in and said, "Nope, you can't put a new well in. You have to get to city water." Well, it's $10,000 to connect to the city water. So if you don't have water, you can't have church. And so just anything. But guess who's able? Guess who's able? So this verse means a lot to me. Because when you declare what the Lord has done in your soul, done for your soul, when you do that, you encourage folks. When you encourage folks, you help them get closer. When you folks get saved, and so declare, don't be afraid to declare what the Lord's done in your soul. The things that the Lord wants to do in New England, there's pockets. I don't see us ever getting a national revival. I don't see that happening, but I think there's some places where the Lord would like to do something. When we were deciding if that was where the Lord wanted us, every time we go out door knocking, we were seeing folks saved. And some folks, they're very plain about it. They're very plain about it. Get off my front porch. Don't come back. I don't want what you got. When you get south, when you get start coming south, then everybody's saved, right? Everybody knows the language. We're saved. No, not up there. If they're an 85-year-old man knocked on his door, and he said, "We conquered new church, Granite State." He says, "Yeah. I've been going to the same church since I was 6 years old, Congregationalist." I said, "Okay, great." I said, "If you stood before God in the morning," I said, "what would you tell him? What would you tell him about why he should let you in?" He says, "I knew we were going to get around to that." He says, "That's what you guys do." And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Oh, you want me to answer? Oh, okay." He said, "Let me tell you." He said, "I know I'm a sinner." I said, "Okay, great. Now what?" He said, "That's all I know." He says, "I've been an elder in the church." He said, "I was an usher." He said, "I've done everything but be the preacher." He said, "And nobody can tell me anything other than I'm a sinner." I said, "Bruh." I said, "Can I?" I said, "Can I open the Word and show you?" 15 minutes later, he was crying. He was telling God, "I finally know that you can save me. That I knew I was a sinner, Lord. And now we're together on that. And now we're together on I can have eternal life." 85 years old. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it. But I'm showing him verses in the Bible, and he's looking, acting like he's looking. But the guy's totally blind, and he was acting like he was looking at the Bible, and just soaking it up. And the Lord decided they wanted to save him, give him one more chance before. But we, again and again and again, finding folks that are hungry for, it's like a foreign country where they've never heard the name of Jesus. So many places up there they haven't, because generation after generation after generation has stepped away from what the Lord started up there. That's where the Baptist history up there is incredible. If you ever get up there, take the Baptist history tour. Brother McGuire does a Baptist history tour that is, it will open your eyes. There was a guy that walked across New England, starting churches, started 300 and something churches, walking across frozen rivers, walked and started 300 churches up there. And then folks step away from what God did. You're only one generation away from being without a witness. What you put in your children is important. What you put in the next generation is important. They are the future. They are worth investing in. And one of the reasons why we want to go to the schools so badly up there is because they are worth investing in. Time and money. And it takes money. It takes money to serve God. A preacher recently put it to me very, very easily, and so I hadn't really put it this way. He said, you got a businessman and a missionary sitting here side by side. It's obvious what the businessman has that the missionary needs. It's obvious. What does the missionary have that the businessman needs? Do you know a businessman that saw 21 men get saved last week? What does the missionary have that the businessman needs? Fruit. God has made it so that we can all be equal at the judgment seat. He's made it so that you can have the fruit that the missionary has. You can have a part of what his ministry. And so we need each other. It takes money to serve the Lord. I stopped in Cleveland at the office on the way south. I picked up 20,000 tracts. Do you know how many boxes it takes to put 20,000? That's a bunch of boxes. And anyway, I picked up 20,000 tracts, and I couldn't take 400 cases of 400 Bibles. So I had those shipped, and so they should be there when I get back, 400 Bibles. But it takes money. Even though we have our own printing ministry there in Cleveland, it still takes money to print the Bible. It still takes money to print tracts. It still takes, somebody has to say that somebody gave us a press, a $1 million press, but it still took $30,000 to move it, set it up, and then train the guys on it. And so, and we get tracts for like a penny a piece, which is a very good price. But it's still 20,000 tracks. That's a lot of paper. That's a lot of ink. It takes money to serve the Lord. And so that's what one of the things I'm doing. A couple months ago, we got a phone call from the power company, Florida Power & Light. And they said, if you want somebody to turn on your power at your house in their name, you've got to turn it off first. I said, what? Somebody's moved into our house in Florida. So that's one of the things I had to come and deal with. My brother gave a key to a family and says, "Yeah, y'all need a place to stay. Come in. They're not living there anymore. You can come and live." So they're living in there on top of all our stuff. And So tomorrow, that's one of the things I'm going to go do is I went and bought a trailer, and so I'll go move my stuff and take it back to New England and do something with it. But we'll still live in our 30-foot camper. But the Lord knows what's going on. So. I'm not afraid of it, but I don't know how that's going to go when I go in there, because there's two horses and a dog and a truck and a car in the yard, and none of them are mine. And, so I don't know how that's going to go tomorrow. I'd like to go in there and just pinch somebody's head off, but there you go. That's not what the Lord wants. So the Lord is doing something in New England. He's doing something in New England. There are places where. They have said, we don't want God. Don't come to our town. They won't let any churches start. There's no Baptist church in the anywhere close to them. And they don't want God. They've got problems that you wouldn't believe. They've got problems. One place has a Muslim mayor. First one in New England. And the law, the things that he is doing is just crazy. And they don't want God. But the places where, yes, we need God. We see the need. We see what. Yes. The Lord will do something in places like that. He will not. He will not against people's will. You look where the maniac of Gadara. They told Jesus, "We don't want you here." Do you know what is there now? A desert. Nothing. Nothing. Where they said, "We don't want God here." There is nothing there. There are places in New England that want God, and that's where we want. When we go to prison, we're not looking to save for thousands, hundreds to get saved. We're looking for the one. In Jesus' ministry, if you look, he would make trips. He would go to find one man. That's what we're looking for, that one. And if the Lord gives us more than that, that's great. But we're just looking for that one that is closest, that one that the Lord's already touched his heart. And said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I need a Savior. And then once they get saved, we get them rooted and grounded. We found that if you give them the Prisoner Bible Institute, which is free for them, if they go ahead and work their way through the Bible, some 30,000 questions when they work their way through the Bible, that only about 8% will repeat. And if you know anything about recidivism, that's a complete flip-flop, because about 90-92% is the national recidivism rate. They go back. So once they get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, it changes their life, and they don't go back to prison after they get out. In fact, we've got several guys that have become pastors up there. Now, let me tell you, their first time, when they first get out of prison, they go to their first church, it's kind of rough. He's still doing prison things in his mind, and so it gets kind of rough. But the one guy, Chris, he's on his third church, and he's kind of mellowed out a little bit, because in prison, you're either all one side or all the other. There ain't no fence straddlers, and you get out in the public, and you just can't be that dogmatic with folks and expect them to stick around. And so anyway, but he's learning how to be a little bit more easygoing. So, but he don't back up on the Word of God. He knows the difference that it made in his life. So, and he's not afraid to declare what the Lord has done in his soul. So, we appreciate you praying for us. If you wanted us to be your representatives in New England, in the prisons, in the schools, in the jails, in the nursing homes. Where if you want, then we would be happy to be your representative. We'd be happy to have for you to have a part in our ministry. You pray about it. See what the Lord says. Would you? Thank you. Thank you for your time.